broadcasting from the shores of El Pacifico, Phil Hendry.
And it's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast and 4 a.m. on the East Coast, the news, talk, and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Truth is our bitch, and we go places even other talk shows have no guts, they have no business, they can't go, they wouldn't go there, we go there. And we find out what we find out, and then we keep it to ourselves. Anyway, welcome to our program tonight. We have Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation joining us this particular hour, because we're going to explore a little more, just a little bit more, the encounter between Governor Brewer and President Obama on the tarmac there at Phoenix yesterday, and the finger-wagging incident. We do have Pastor William Renick to talk about it from the perspective of an African-American man and what should one do if one finds himself in that position. We might have something later on in the program from Jay Santos of the Citizens Auxiliary Police on the likelihood of a moon base, and just in the extreme, if they actually did attempt a moon base, who would be the people that would qualify to, quote, live there? Who would be the people that would qualify to, quote, travel there and actually start this so-called colony? One might imagine them to be scientists, people of peak physical conditioning, people of higher than average intelligence, and so forth. But we'll talk about this with Jay Santos and others when we perhaps later on tonight. Our number is 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. And we are also online at philhendryshow.com. Right now we have a video cast going of the show. It's called Phil TV in HD. And you can watch our live video cast of each and every Phil Hendry show as we perform it on Phil TV in HD. If you have a backstage pass, to get a backstage pass, go to our website. It also gives you access to our archives, to our daily podcast, to our news feed, to our comment section, and so on and so forth, and other goodies and like that. So it's philhendryshow.com. And by the way, we're giving away a free pass to a backstage pass. That is, you'll get a free month subscription to our website if you sign up at our fan page on Facebook, which is facebook.com/PhilHendryFans, PHANS, or if you hashtag PhilHendry at twitter.com/PhilHendryShow. All right, joining us here from, actually in their car on their way home from a testimonial dinner this evening, Pastor William Renick and his wife Clara there. And Pastor Renick, I guess Clara's driving this evening, huh?
She is, Bill, and we're on our way back from a wonderful evening, testimonial dinner for Reverend Willard, who we had worked with in Africa 2 years ago on our mission, and also in our South American mission. So we had quite a good time. He is retiring from the elementary church in Compton, California, and we wish him well and had a good dinner.
You were talking with me earlier today, and you had also been on a couple of other broadcasts today on some other shows, talking about the president there with Governor Brewer.
Yes.
And you found that you still think that there's some unfinished business there.
Yes, I do.
Tell me about that.
Well, you know, Phil, I'm not an individual. I don't think it's healthy to carry any kind of a grudge. I don't think it's healthy to carry forward any kind of bad feeling. You know, I think what we do is deal with it, we move on. But I don't think the lesson was learned yesterday. I did not hear people articulating clearly what should have been articulated during that encounter between the president and Jan Brewer, who is the governor of Arizona. And that was, I think it needed to be made very clear to that young lady that she was out of line, wagging her finger in the face of an American president. But I also think that there's a message there that needs to be very clear, that when you wag your finger in the face of a black man, and understand now, I'm not saying this was the intent. I'm saying the effect is what we've got to deal with. And when you are a white woman, and the image of you is transported around the world of you wagging your finger in the face of a black man, this is a very negative image.
When you say it's a negative image, who is it negative more for, the black man or the white woman?
Oh, without question, the black man, because it is, you know, I'm going to stop short of saying it's emasculating.
I was going to ask you about that word.
I'm going to stop short of that. But I will say it's very disrespectful. And it conjures in the mind. It conjures in the mind of other black men and other black women of impotence, of a weakness, of allowing yourself to be talked to in this disrespectful way by this white woman. It brings up images of a time when that kind of thing was allowed.
Now, there's a lot of people in this world, Pastor Renick, and a great many of them are much, much younger than you or I, and they don't remember quite clearly the time when this sort of classist and racist society existed, where you had the black underclass, the servant, being talked to in this way. Do you think that that resonates with them?
Well, I think that it does with the people of a generation who remember. And I don't think you have to be old, and I don't think you've got to be a member of any generation to look at that, to see this white woman wagging her finger in the face of a black man and not feel something. If you're black, you feel something. Doesn't make any difference how old you are. And if you're white, you're going to feel something. And I think all people of justice are going to feel something.
All right, now let me interrupt you here for just a second. Governor Brewer, what do you think she should do? Because I take it...
Well, you know...
I take it that you feel she's wrong, and...
I think not only was she wrong, I think she should have known she was wrong. And as a matter of fact, I think in the minutes and hours that followed this incident, I think she figured out she was wrong. And she immediately went into defensive mode. And started to talk about how he was this, he was that, he was something else. Well, he might have been all of that, but I did not see him wagging his finger in her face. I did not see him talking down to her like she's a woman, and he's a big man, he's going to tell her what's all about. Here's this little woman, and he's the president of the United States.
What about people saying, oh, well, he is a big man, and she is a little woman? And the look on the president's face was one of almost amusement. He was kind of smiling, looking at her, and she already looks bad enough.
No, I don't think so. I think to black people, that's the face. We're used to that face. We're used to that face where we say, yes, sir, and no, ma'am. Yeah, no, I understand you. I'll be very happy to do that. And, we that might look that way to you. But to me, I look like a black man trying to, not overstep his bounds. Trying to keep his mouth shut, listening to what the lady of the house got to say to him about picking up the slop bucket.
And, well, you're using a favorite phrase here, slop bucket.
Well, that's exactly what it looked like to me. It looked like the lady of the house telling the head servant, you didn't get the slop buckets out on time. Now, I'm being very pointed. I understand that. But I'm trying to make this message as loud and as clear as I can. And if you're a black man and you see that picture, a white woman wagging her finger in the face, you are somehow reminded of a time when you not only were the head servant, you had to get the slop buckets taken out. But God forgive me, you also were the one that had to keep her warm in a bed at night when a man was out of town.
Oh, boy.
No, I'm telling you.
Well, that we can't attribute that to that picture that we saw.
To the particular picture we saw with Governor Brewer. But psychologically, that's what she's... And she doesn't even know it. And Governor Obama, or rather, President Obama doesn't even know it. But the two of them, deep down in their older part of the brain, in that Jungian part of the brain, that's what she's thinking.
She's thinking what? She's thinking, oh, you better take the slop buckets out, and oh, yeah, you are the stud tonight?
The head stud, yeah.
What do you mean by like an iconic thing?
I think it's iconic. I think it's, as Young said, Carl Young said, it's very iconic. It's very old brain. Very old brain. Now,
well, let me take a break here. I got to give our number. It's 877-876-PHIL. 877-876-7445. We're talking here with Pastor William Renick tonight about the Jan Brewer Barack Obama encounter on the tarmac at the airport in Phoenix. And you can hear Pastor Renick. He's pretty clear that he felt it was disrespectful on the part of the governor. In fact, it has not been dealt with. It's an image that is explosive, a white woman wagging her finger in the face of a black man. We do have a break to take, Pastor. I know that you have a solution.
Well, the solution is very clear. You have to be respectful. But I also think you've got to make the point. So what he should have done...
Tell you what, let's take the break. You're going to tell us what you feel he should have done, but it involves last resort, a physical act of violence, doesn't it?
I don't want to call it that, and I've never, ever...
But isn't that what it is?
Yes, it is, but I've never, ever seen it come to that.
All right, let's take a break here. 877-876-PHIL is our number. Pastor Renick is going to come back. There is a way in his mind that if you are a black man and a white woman has just wagged her finger in your face, there's a way of dealing with it. And it is a way of respect, but it also involves some physical aggression. We'll find out what that is when we come back here. 877-876-7445, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445. It's the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and on the line with us is Pastor William Renick as we discuss Governor Jan Brewer yesterday talking with President Obama. All right, now I want to talk with you here, Pastor, about what you call a solution to the problem, and then we're going to take some phone calls from our callers. But you have clearly stated that this is a very explosive thing for a black man.
Yeah, very much so. When you're black and you got a white woman standing there wagging a finger in your face... Well, I tell you, I can't, I don't even think I can describe it. It has a lot of meaning. It means, go get a slop bucket. It means, you are a stud. It means, you know, very, very horrible things that hearken to a time, Phil, that we've very much forgotten in this country.
What is the solution?
Well, the solution is to be respected. President Obama should have taken one step back, bowed, because I think when you bow from the waist, what you're giving is a very, very distinct sign of respect. And I think he should have taken one step back, bowed to the governor, and said, Governor, I would appreciate it if you keep your finger out of my face, or something to that effect. And then you bow again. If she continues to wag the finger, that's when you drop into a very classic martial arts pose, which I know you're familiar with, Phil, where you have cocked the right or the left hand waist level, and then you deliver a shot to the solar plexus. Now, I don't...
So you're talking about an act of physical violence.
Hold on. It has never, ever, ever been necessary. Never. That I know of.
Well, going back to when?
In contemporary times, I'm talking about. I don't know about slave time. I don't think they even tried it in slave time. But in contemporary times, if you give two distinct bows... You'll never, ever have to deal, with a white woman wagging a finger in your face. That has been my experience, the experience of others.
You've talked to other black men who've dealt with this.
Absolutely.
877-876-PHIL. Let's go to a phone call here. On the line we have Kerry. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Kerry, go ahead.
Hey, how's it going?
Very good, sir.
Like
thank you.
I'd like to talk to this so-called black pastor right here. What kind of pastor are you, sir?
So-called black pastor? Are you so-called white man?
Oh, I'm definitely a so-called white man. But let me ask you a question. Hold on.
When you come out of the coal mine at night, I bet you they had a hard time figuring that one out.
Hold on for a minute, gentlemen. Hold on, gentlemen. I will control the phone call here, not you guys. Allow Mr. Kerry here to speak. Go ahead.
Thank you. I'd just like to say one thing right from jump, how you would have the mentality
to have a so-called pastor that is seeing black and seeing white. That right there just shows what kind of, not even pastor, but what kind of man and what kind of prejudiced person this is, number one.
But you now, come on me like you're so cold. You, turn, I had to say I'm black, to you. But you're so cold white.
Phil, take care of it. Okay.
What?
Now,
hello?
Bottom line.
You called me the N-word, didn't you?
No, he did not.
No, see, that's where you're coming from. That's where you're coming from. And I believe that's in both colors as far as that goes. But what? Don't even play that race card junk with me.
Well, I'm afraid I'm going to have to because I know a little bit about it.
You're not even.
And you don't know nothing about
you
it.
You are a
And
joke.
The reason why you don't know nothing
you
about it is you ain't black.
A joke. You're reading the
Are you a joke there?
Picture.
Calling me I'm so-called.
Picture. Okay, I'm
not
going
to why don't you all go and get your shoe polished going down to the minstrel show? I'm done with this guy.
Oh,
hello.
You got to be done.
Yeah, I'm done with your minstrel show act.
You do not have a leg to stand on. You are the most prejudiced person.
What, you got a leg to stand on? What you know about a white woman shaking her finger in my face?
Yeah, I would love to stick
unless you are a white woman.
I'm a man.
Are you a white woman? Are you a white woman?
Oh, whoa.
Oh, this guy, he's coming on trying to talk all kinds of trash. He don't know unless he's a white woman. What effect it has?
Do what, sir?
What'd you say?
I said, do what? I didn't understand you.
I didn't understand you.
Well, all right, let me jump in. I heard somebody say something about a white man, black. Let me ask you this, Carrie, just so we can break this impasse. Do you feel that it's possible that not being black, there are some things that are not in your experience that you may not know about? And I'll ask Pastor Rennick the same thing about being, you know, a white man. But do you feel being
you
white, not
about
being black?
Slavery, per se?
No. Hold on. I'm talking about just walking around in the world black, even today. Do you think there's some things that a black man experiences that you don't know about?
Well, I'm sure that there probably is, but as far as...
Aha! So the guy does admit it.
Would you, Pastor, would you shut up, please?
He did admit it, though.
As being a man, there's a lot of things that I don't like taking from a woman. But you know what? Being a true man, you have to take it from a woman. Because you know what's worse than taking and listening and doing something that a woman tells you as being a man? It's doing something that a man makes you do as a man.
I don't even hear. What did you just say? Say that again. I didn't understand that. Yeah, that was the most convoluted. What?
Did you understand what I said?
Well, go ahead and repeat it just so the pastor.
It was all gobbledygook.
Gobbledygook. Okay. Well, that
it was. I didn't know you were like the some things you take from a man that you can't take from a woman, but I take from a woman and a man. I didn't understand it.
All right. Let him restate it.
Okay. What I'm saying is there is a lot of things. As being a man, I work for a lot of men. And I work for a lot of men that really, I know a lot more about my job, let's say, per se. I'm working on a rig that they don't know. That I have to submit myself and come under them because they do have the rule over me. In my job and in other
Good
things
God.
Like that. Now, that's another situation.
You're making that sound very
now, I've
weird.
Got a wife. I have to sometimes not come under by no means, but she is the weaker vessel. I do not, as a man, I am physically stronger and I'm physically have more in me than a woman does. And you being a so-called pastor should know that. Now,
you keep calling me so-called. Did I say that you're a so-called this and so-called that? You saying I'm so-called?
Well, hold
That's
on.
That's disrespectful,
the reason,
see?
Yeah, the reason I'm saying that...
I have to get into a solar plexus pool.
Let me rephrase that.
Oh, God. All right, I think... I've got to just interrupt both of you guys. Basically, I think what's happening here is you're taking exception to the fact that he's saying, I won't take this from a woman. This is what you're saying, Carrie. And you're saying you don't want to take it from a woman because it reminds you of a time when black people were under the thumb of the white race.
I'm telling you, it's disrespectful to wave your finger in the president's face. That's number one. But the thing that made me really upset was that the white woman wagging her finger in his face like, you better get the slop buckets.
All right, so you took it as a racist thing.
Yeah,
exactly. What if she'd have been a black woman?
and he was a white man?
And he was a black man.
Then it would have been okay.
Wait a minute. Why is that okay?
You
know that stuff. How's that racist? How's that racist if a black woman... See, that don't make sense.
I'm going to have to ask him about that.
You're still living in slavery, buddy. And let me tell you
Thanks for the call, sir. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Back with more from Pastor William Renick right after this.
Is that a black woman, black man?
Yeah.
Now, that's cool.
Phil Henry.
That's cool.
World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We have Pastor William Renick as we discuss Governor Brewer on the tarmac with President Obama and the finger-wagging, which a great many of us, and I would say, I have to tell you, Pastor, I think the majority of people I've talked to considered it to be disrespectful just a person to the President of the United States. Just leave the race out of it.
Here's the thing.
Hold on. Just we'll get to what I just wanted you to know that of the people I've talked to, they've said you don't wag your finger in the face of our president. He's not a king, but it's because he is not a king that we elect him. That in many ways Americans are more protective of the office of the president because it's our leader that we elect. He's not some king or some emperor. Now you're not exactly saying that.
No, that's exactly what I'm saying.
Well, you're bringing up race. You're saying a white woman...
Well, yeah, I mean, it has a little bit more of a sting with a white woman. It doesn't... I'm saying don't be disrespectful to the president.
And well, what is all this slop bucket and all of this, the stud for the night, and it harkens back to a time of racial oppression?
Well, it does. You can't ignore that. That's a fact. And that is something that is real to black people. Now, I know that white people don't understand that, and that's fine, and I think that they're entitled to be, well, I don't want to say, but they're entitled to be dumb. But
well, you know, you're going to get a reaction to that.
I know I'm going to get a reaction, but my point is, you don't do that to the President of the United States, especially if he's black, you see. And
now, you've said something that the last caller took exception to. You said, what if it was a black woman?
I'm not trying to be funny. Look, Clara is here, my wife, Clara. Clara, my wife wags her finger in my face all the time. I don't think if you're a black man, it's not unusual for your wife to wag her finger in your face.
Bill, this is Clara.
Hey, Clara, how are you?
He's talking about giving a woman a solar plexus shot. I would like to see if you could stand up to something like that, Pat.
I don't want to take a solar plexus shot right now. I'm making the point, Phil, about the solar plexus shot. If she doesn't show you respect, you keep on wagging a finger. Now, you say to her, please, don't wag your finger in my face, and you bow twice? I'm talking about bowing from the waist.
So, in other words, if you bow from the waist twice, you think you're deserving of her not wagging her finger anymore.
Exactly. And if she keeps on doing it, it's almost like she's saying, please do punch me in the stomach. I want to feel that.
And you'd really do that, wouldn't you?
I've never had to. And
I don't know, not asking you that, you'd really do that, wouldn't you?
If I bowed twice from the waist and she's still going, slop bucket. See, that's when I see the finger in my face, all I'm thinking of are two words, slop and bucket. And that... Man, that definitely will mess up your day.
All right, 877-876-PHIL is our number. Pastor William Renick with us. Let me go to a phone call, and this is Brad. Hi, Brad. You're on the Phil Henry Show with Pastor William Renick. Go ahead, please.
Hi, Phil. Pastor.
Yes, sir.
I appreciate and respect your age and your experiences in life, okay?
Thank you.
But I'd like to give you some advice that my son gives to me all the time. Catch up with the times, Dad. Most people that you're talking to today on these airwaves, black and especially white, have no clue what you're talking about. You're just a guy pulling a race car. Slop bucket? They're scratching their heads at you.
Oh, you sound like Mr. Henry now.
I already heard Mr. Henry say that.
So?
Well, that Mrs. Carlos just repeat what you said. He was out there. Well, you out there in Radio Land listen to the host, you call up and you're repeating him. What I'm saying is this. I'm saying that it may not mean anything to you. It may not mean anything to you. But I can tell you from, I know for a fact it means something to black people. And you don't know that. Now, that's all there is to that. Number two, slop bucket means something a guy goes to the bathroom in.
Quite older friends. I understand what you're referring to. I'm saying
you know
the majority of the people
know
today do not.
I beg your pardon? You've never had a slop bucket.
I never handled one myself. I'm saying I have some older
people
who have.
But you have one in the house, don't you? Don't you have one in the house? Do you have one in your home? Yeah.
Not that I know of. What? A slop bucket.
Why would he have one? We have indoor plumbing nowadays.
I understand that. But in most southern homes, because of old habits, most people have a night soil bucket or a slop bucket.
In most southern homes?
Yes.
Well, this gentleman doesn't...
Well, my accent should send me away on that one.
Well, but the fact you don't have one leaves you at risk. You know?
Okay.
You're wide open. You know, you could be hurt.
How's he going to be hurt?
If there's a hurricane, what is with you guys?
Are we talking about plumbing now, or are we talking about...
No, I'm just asking. You asked me. Now the guy's laughing because he thinks you got white people laughing at me. Good for you, Phil. Let me just say, hey. Phil Henry got white people to laugh at me. You feel better?
I'm not trying to get white people to laugh at you. You're saying that it has a particular significance for black people. I understand that.
Just white people laughing at him, Phil.
Oh, this guy, he's speaking for the black race again. Yeah, I forgot. You were speaking for the black race, too. You are all clued in, aren't you? I'm going to tell you something. I'm the only one that I know that can speak for both races because I'm a pastor. And because I stand in front of my congregation every Sunday, and I see every fear, every sin. I see all those faces, all those tears. And I know you got a slot bucket. I know you do.
Okay. All right. Anyway, Brad, thank you very much for your call. Our number is 877-876-PHIL.
Okay, so the silence there meant you guys want me to think I'm nuts. But that's not how it is. I think you're nuts.
That's fine. But when you keep bringing up slop bucket as an integral part of the subconscious of Southern whites... Because that's what they used, and they had the blacks hauling it downstairs. Man, we're not even talking about modern times anymore. We were just talking about Governor Brewer wagging her finger in the face of President Obama.
Right.
And he was raised in Hawaii.
Well, you know something, Phil? Hawaii, if you look at it on a map, is the southernmost state in the Union. I guess you're going to laugh at that, huh?
Yeah, okay.
What does that mean, yeah, okay? That's the southernmost state.
That's not a southern state. In fact, it wasn't even admitted to the Union until 1959, or 1958, whenever it was. 877-876-PHIL. I got to go to another phone call here. This is Tom on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, Tom.
Yeah, I can't believe this guy here you got on here. Sir, you are so clueless on these issues, and you don't even see the fact that you... The reason the little bit of racism that's left in the world is because of people like you spouting nonsense.
Come on, that
like
lemonade.
You talking, making no sense,
talk
talking
that
about slop buckets.
Give me that lemonade. What's that? I'm talking about a slop bucket.
I'm now, talking you about wag, you. Two human beings. One lady decides to wag her finger in the other guy's face. It don't matter if it's the president. It don't matter if it's somebody on the street.
Yeah,
I've seen plenty of women wag their fingers in people's faces. And the thing is,
you don't do that to the President of the United States.
Racially motivated. You're crazy.
You don't do any of that to the President of the United States. You don't
I've seen George Bush get a shoe thrown at him. What were you saying then when some Arab dude threw a shoe at Bush?
I didn't like it.
For that?
Were
you calling that racist?
I didn't like it.
Is that racist?
I didn't. Are you listening? You just, I said I didn't like it. I didn't like it.
Okay. Well, I didn't even hear you.
Did you like it? Did you think it was okay? You didn't think I think you're a phony. As a matter of fact, I think you're pretending like you got a high school diploma.
You try to pimple out
your money.
And y'all
you listen.
Hey, you got to, hey, You know, you guys have got to stop talking over each other, okay? It's not going to work on this show. I hear people doing that. I'm going to hang up on both of you. All right?
This guy's trying to pretend like he knows me. He don't know nothing. And number two, if he doesn't like the fact that some guy threw a shoe at Bush, how come he liked the fact that woman wagging a finger in Obama's face? Answer me that.
Well, I'll tell you what the answer is. First off,
would you have to sit and think about that, man?
Hold on.
Obama over there in Iraq, it wasn't a governor of a state, a U.S. citizen, that was clearly doing a critique of the president, who's a public figure. You know, I'm all for it, because I think Obama's been a disaster.
Yeah, you know what, Tom, you're a moron. Get out of here, you freaking moron. I agree, you know, that you're overplaying the race card. I don't like the wagging of a finger at a president's face. Some guy who's just who thinks Obama ought to be able to be treated like garbage because he doesn't like him politically, get lost.
Hold on for a minute, Phil. That's wrong. That's not Christian to you.
Why is... Well, I'm not trying to be Christian.
No, you should have let me talk to that man instead of hanging up on him, because I could have turned him. I could tell... That man has spent a lifetime underneath trucks and cars and who knows what, getting grease dripped on him. He probably never had anybody listen to him. And he's angry about Obama. He don't like black people. I can tell he don't like black people.
No. I didn't. I hung up on that guy because I didn't like him saying it's okay to wag a finger in the face of the president.
He's entitled to his opinion. He's entitled to his opinion. I don't think you should be able to wag a finger in a president's face either, especially if you're a white woman.
Well, that's what we ought to talk about then, okay?
But you don't want to talk about that guy.
No, well, okay, fine. So I hung up on him. I'm sorry.
I could have turned that man. I could have had him in church instead of laying underneath some old Buick draining a crankcase, drinking that 99-cent beer. Lord!
I would tell you this much, Pastor.
See, this is my job, though. My job is to know people.
I'll tell you this much, Pastor. Okay, if you want, we can argue that aspect of the case as well. I thought we were talking about somebody wagging their finger in Obama's face, being a white woman and a black man. I thought that is what that was about.
It's about it. It's about all of it. Yeah, primarily about all of it. But if that guy thinks that Obama ought to be disrespected because he's a lousy president. But he's a simple-minded fool. I could have had that guy eaten out of my hand in 5 minutes. You hung up on him.
Great. Maybe he'll hear you and show up at church. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go over here to Kenny. Go ahead, Kenny. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hi, Phil.
Hi.
This guy, this pastor, I really don't think that Obama is taking it as serious as this guy is. I mean, it's the president. He's laughing in this picture. I think we all have the same reaction if some person was doing this to us. Picture George Bush getting his finger wagged in the face. It doesn't matter if it's a black girl or a white woman.
I had never seen that happen to George Bush. I saw a shoe get thrown at him.
He would be smirking just like Obama was during.
You can't say that. George Bush would have smacked the spine right off their face.
What are you talking about? That's what you're saying he ought to do.
Yes, George Bush would have stepped back and hold off and whack that woman. But I'm saying, Obama should have stepped back, bowed from the waist.
Any normal person, that's the way they react in an awkward situation. They smile, they smirk. He's taking it lightly, clearly. If he's offended as a black man, I think he would have said something to her afterwards.
I'm sure he said to her, you pull that again. White woman.
You don't know that he said that.
I bet. I got money says he did.
Well, there's no report on it.
There ain't going to be a report on it. Nobody's going to put that in the paper.
I would say white woman or anything. I mean,
well, he would have said no. I'm being very polite.
As a president
being polite.
Speaking to a governor, not as a black man speaking to a white woman.
I think he would have said bitch. Nah, I don't think he would have said bitch. But
come on, will you? Talk serious.
I'm talking serious. I think he said when they got a moment away from the reporters, I think he said, you pull that again. And you won't even know it's... You won't believe what's happening even while it's happening.
Okay.
You think the president said...
The president of the United States.
I understand.
Then to bow, and then if he does it again, to slap her.
If you ask yourself this question, if a man bows twice from the waist and asks politely, please don't do that again. That's being very respectful. Very respectful. And if the woman still does it, she deserved to get slugged.
I know. That's just, intolerant.
I don't think a president of the United States would get away with it. Yeah. I don't think a president of the United States would get away with it.
No,
I don't. I don't care how many guys have tried it. And while, you know...
Well, you know, Bill, you guys are crossing a couple of lines. You're saying that Obama's laughing. He says he thinks George Bush would laugh. I think, my opinion is George Bush would have hauled off and slapped that ugly nose off of her. And
well, now you're knocking the governor's looks.
Well, yes. Yes. I am. That woman, she'd make a freight train take a dirt road, and she is standing there wagging a finger in a very handsome man's face. I think she's lucky. So didn't come along and just go ahead and whack the ugly off of her. And I know what I'm saying is disrespectful. I know that I'm sounding angry, but I've had to talk to a lot of dumbasses this hour. But not you, sir. You're a good man. You're a good man. Now, what's this gentleman's name?
This is Kenny.
Kenny, you're a good man. But some of the dumbbells I talked to this hour... like to make me, set me free.
All right, look, I want to take a break here. All right, I got to take a break here. Kenny, I appreciate very much your call, but we got to take a break, and we have to get this sort of sorted out a little bit. Because are we talking about race? Are we talking about president? Are we talking about she shouldn't have done it to him? I don't think you should do that to a president. I don't think it's necessary to bring up race when it hasn't been brought up. I think that the pastor here wants to turn it into an issue that I have not yet heard it turned into, but hey, 877-876-PHIL, 877-876-7445, the world famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. World-famous Phil Henry Show.
Do you understand what I'm saying?
No, I don't understand.
There are a number of different things that are getting... Welcome back, folks, here on the world-famous Phil Henry Show, 877-876-PHIL. There are a number... And I'm talking here with Pastor William Rennick. There are a number of things that are getting... There's the issue of, are you disrespectful to a president by wagging your finger? Now, you're saying that this was super disrespectful because it was a white woman and a black man.
Yeah, what I'm saying, Phil, I agree. You never wag your finger in the face of a president. I didn't like it when they threw that shoe at President Bush. I thought that was... And I heard the Iraqi prime minister speaking after that happened. And the Iraqi prime minister said, that's very disrespectful to a visitor to our country. That's considered very disrespectful. All right. So I'm very much in agreement with people on this. What I'm trying to get people to understand is that's like saying, okay, I don't think you ought to set fire to a house. Now what I'm saying is, I don't think you ought to set fire to a house, and I damn sure don't think you ought to go down the street, get another couple of cans of gasoline, and throw it on the fire, which is what's happening when you're a white woman doing that. So my suggestion is this. If you know that you're going to be disrespectful or you're angry at the President of the United States, and you really feel like you're going to have to wag a finger in his face or yell at him or something, you need to go find yourself a black man. So that...
What do you mean you need to go find yourself a black man?
What I'm saying is, if you're Jan Brewer, the first thing she should have known, she got out of bed on the wrong side that morning and would have looked in the mirror and said, I can't go meet the president today. I meet the president today, all bets are off. Man, I'm going to look like Helga, the war goddess or something, you know. I better find myself a member of my staff who's good and black. Excuse me for putting it that way.
Good and black. What's that mean?
You know what I'm talking about. Look at Phil. I don't have time to express.
Well, what does that mean?
It means somebody who gets it. I better get him out there and greet the president. The president's going to say, what are you doing here? And he'll say, well, you know, Mr. President, the governor, she's sick, or she busted a heel on a shoe, or whatever a woman is. A great many excuses.
And oh, give me a woman's excuse. Okay.
Well, Phil, you got to give me a break here. I'm trying to make a point here.
No, I've heard your point. But Jan Brewer shouldn't have gone out there when she was upset and confronted the president because she's the wrong color. All right.
You want to put it like a racist.
Well, that's what it sounds like.
No, it don't. What I'm... What I'm saying is...
No, I know what you're saying, but you don't understand that it still is going to come off sounding a little rough. Let me get to a phone call here. 877-876-PHIL. Let's go here to Dan. Dan, you're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, please. Dan?
Hello?
Yes, sir. Go ahead. You're on the air.
Yes, sir. About the whole race thing, I just don't think that's right.
You don't think it's right?
No, sir. Not at all.
This is Pastor William Rennick, and I'm telling you that it is right.
I feel like, you know, I feel like the girl's opinion on the president's all cool and all, right? But I feel like the pastor bringing up any racial, like, preference to her saying her opinion to the president, like, that's kind of wrong. Like, just because
she should have gone. She needed to go get herself a black man. She needed to go get a black man to do it.
She needed to go get a black man.
Yeah. And she needed to send out for one. She had to send out for a black man to make everything good.
And honestly, sir, I don't get that at all.
All right. Very good. Leon, hold on, buddy, because we have to take a break, and I didn't give you enough time here. 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show with Pastor William Rennick, Jan Brewer, President Obama. When a white woman shakes her finger at a black man, and he happens to be the president, that's what we're talking about. We'll be right
Phil
back.
Phil Hendry.
You need to send out for a couple of black men.
Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show. Every night till 1 o'clock on the West Coast, 4 a.m. on the East Coast, a news talk and entertainment show that knows what it's talking about. Put the pastor on hold for a minute, if you wouldn't mind, bud. Thank you. We're online at philhendryshow.com as well, where you can watch a live video of our broadcast right this very second. We do a video cast on Phil TV and HD. And behind me right now, as a matter of fact, you will see a beautiful, beautiful photograph of, I believe that's Hawaii, isn't it? That is the coast of Maui, and a bottle of our favorite Don Julio is right there in the foreground. So, and as a matter of fact, I forgot that I'd had a little Don Julio. I just found it there in the back. So for those of you who join us for our Sunday football with Phil, be forewarned. Now, on Phil Hendry's Phil TV and HD and at philhendryshow.com, I should say, get a backstage pass and watch the video as well as listen to our archive material. Head over to our shop and pick up a souvenir. Valentine's Day is ahead, and what could be more romantic than a hoodie from Ted Bell's, Ted's of Beverly Hills, with the words, "We want to put our meat in your mouth" on the back. Yes, Ted's of Beverly Hills. What are you looking at? Out of here. Ted's of Beverly Hills and that hoodie in our souvenir shop. Pastor William Rennick joining us here, 877-876-PHIL from Joyful Union Congregation. Pastor, before we return to our phone caller, and we do have Dan on the line, and we are holding a caller over, folks, from last hour. I felt bad about putting the young man on hold, and he's been very patient. In fact, let me get him back here. I think it's Dan. Dan, is that you?
Yeah, this is me.
Okay, Dan. I want you to listen in for just a second. I asked Pastor Rennick. Pastor, you there?
Yes, I'm here.
Okay. There is a two things, as I mentioned. We have the issue of disrespect to a president. We have the issue of a white woman wagging her finger in the face of a black man. You said before we took our break, you better go get yourself a black man. Jan Brewer.
That's exactly, yeah. Because what I'm saying is this. Governor Brewer got up in the morning. You know she had a problem with the president because of immigration. She had all kinds of problems. Wrote a book and basically called him out in the book. Now, apparently, he's not supposed to say anything about that. He's supposed to just let that slide. So when they finally meet, he, got into it with her. She should have sent someone a little bit more ready to take on the president, because she wound up looking like the Wicked Witch of the West. I don't think it did her any good. You got to understand, I'm trying to protect her.
How are you trying to protect her?
Because look at what she looked like. I think it made her look bad. I think the governor wound up looking like I think she wound up looking kind of shrewish. And I think for the president, he came off looking very presidential, and she came off looking like, what's that Gone with the Wind? What do you call it? Scarlett O'Hara. Trying to lay it out and tell him what's up, even though she's flat on her ass with a Union troop going through her house. You understand what I'm saying?
Okay, Dan, go ahead. What was your comment?
Yeah, I don't see how having a black man in her life would help her at all. I don't see how that can be any better than having a white man in her life or any other race.
She should have sent a black man out there to deal with the president, so she wouldn't have been standing there wagging a finger with a big nose and a blonde hair. Because I'm telling you, it just went around. That image went around the world, and it didn't look good. Didn't look good. And so she winds up looking like a horse's hind end, excuse my language, and the president, everybody's going to feel sorry for eventually.
Well, then what are you taking exception to here?
I'm trying to make this thing so it doesn't blow up. See, this whole thing's getting ready. It's like a keg of dynamite getting ready to explode. And I'm trying to keep the lid on it.
Well, don't look at, don't make something out of nothing here. What do you mean keep the lid on it?
I'm saying she's going to wind up looking like a horse's hind end come sundown tomorrow when this image finishes circling the globe.
You know what? Let's face the truth, guys. This happens almost every day. You know what I'm saying? The president was just doing his job and acting correctly. You know what I'm saying? And that's what I have to say.
What do you mean it happens every day? It happens every day that the white woman is going to stand there and tell him to carry slop buckets? I don't think so.
That's not what she's doing. Well, you say it happens every day the president's disrespected in this manner.
Of course.
And I you do? You think so?
Yes, sir. There's millions of people out here that don't agree with this presidency, okay? But
well, I mean, to his face. Oh. You think people are wagging their finger to his face?
No, they ain't wagging their finger to his face. And that's why I say he's got to take two steps back.
Yeah, I know. Bow twice from the waist and do a solar plexus shot. Thank you very much, sir, for your call. Thank you, sir. 877-876-PHIL is the number. We got Leon on the phone here. Leon, hi. You're on the Phil Hendry Show, sir. Go ahead.
This is Johnny.
It's Johnny. Okay, Johnny, go ahead.
Yes. I'd like to get in on the conversation. Very, very interesting.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon.
Yes, sir.
Good afternoon to you and good afternoon,
good evening,
Pastor.
Can you hear me, Reverend?
Is it where you are? Where is it, young man? It's nighttime where we are. We're in California.
Okay, I'm calling from Texas. I think that, as I was telling the host, that I might be around your generation. I'm 70 years old. I was born 4 years before they bombed Pearl Harbor. And
you
I live
know that the sun's out. You know the sun ain't out right now, right?
What did you say?
I'm just trying to. You know it ain't afternoon, right?
Yeah, and I lived through all of this. I lived through the Emmett Till massacre. I lived through the. I lived through the Voting Rights Act being voted in, the Civil Rights and all of this kind of stuff. And my parents and from being from the South and so forth. And I lived through all of that, so I know all about it. And I've experienced it when I went into the military. 10 years after the military was integrated, which is in 1963, you know, I think it takes a long time for something to catch on. So even when I was in the military, I experienced it. But my feeling is, and I understand where the pastor is coming from. As a matter of fact, I have friends and members in my family that had that type of attitude too. And I used to feel that way myself. And I'm still very guarded when I'm around people if they say something wrong, whether it be a racial thing or it be anything. But I want to say this.
Brother, don't you think that white woman, when she wagged her finger in that man's face, don't you think that she was calling him out for the slop bucket?
I'd like to get to that. I saw a wider shot of that picture this afternoon on Politics Nation, hosted by Al Sharpton. And, you know, the picture that's shown around the world is just her and him. But I saw a wider shot where he had about at least four or five Secret Service agents around him. And I'm saying this, the last person in the world who should ever think about putting their hands on someone is the president, because he has all kind of people that he can employ to do
right.
that.
But
I
understand right.
where the reverend is coming from. And then I also heard a one of the hosts on one of the TV on the news shows, and this was a Caucasian. He said
that's Billy Wilton? Billy Wilton show. Billy Wilton show?
What he would have done, he would have grabbed his finger and bent it, or either asked one of the Secret Service agents to, you know, throw on the ground face down. But again, that was kind of jesting there. But what we're trying to say, the president handled it very well. President, right around the age is my oldest son. My oldest son is 50 years old. And so I think the president is handling everything very well. We need someone.
I think that's a good idea. Yeah. I think that was a very good idea. I think they should have grabbed that thing and snapped it off.
No, the man was laughing when he said that. The man was joking.
Well, I don't know. Yeah. I bet you grabbed that finger, bend it back hard enough. She started looking better.
You know, you made a lot of comments about Governor Brewer's face. Don't you think that's less than gentlemanly?
Well, Phil, I don't mean to be I don't want to be not a gentleman, but I mean, a woman like that, would she look like that? I'd be careful how I'm wagging my finger.
Looking like that.
Governor Brewer has already damaged her image around the nation, around the world, because I heard the news this evening, and I saw it. There was a lot of people, both Republicans and Democrats, different races, they came in, and they came in on the side of the president.
It wasn't her best moment.
She's already damaged her image, and so the president, being as cool and calm as he is,
what do you think about the solar plexus shot?
She's going to be the last on his list.
Thank you, Johnny, very much for your call, and it's very good. I appreciate your experience, too, sir, and your observations. I appreciate that very much. And I think the gentleman said that he didn't agree with that, and he has Secret Service guys.
Yeah, but I was talking about if the president felt threatened, shouldn't he go ahead and drop her? And
he has Secret Service guys. That's what I think Johnny was saying there. He wasn't saying anything other than that. All right, let's go to another phone call here, 877-876-PHIL. This is Armin. Armin, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, please.
Phil, this is Dave.
It's Dave? All right. We're getting people dropping and hanging up and, you know. Let me, Dave, hold on for a minute. Let me go over here to Kenny. Kenny, you're on the Phil Henry Show. Go ahead, sir.
Hey, Phil, how you doing?
Fine.
First, I just want to make this comment. President Barack Obama, he's been disrespected. What this woman did is nothing compared to, there was an interview done, I'm going to assume last year, by a reporter whose name escapes me right now, but during that interview.
Bob Lucan. I know the report. It was Bob Lucan.
Okay, I think that is his name. Every question that was asked to the president, when the president was about to respond, the guy interrupted him every time. And went on to another question. He asked him a question. The president got ready to answer the question. He butted right in and you know, disrespected him the whole interview. What this woman did was nothing. I don't think he felt threatened by her. If she tried anything, she wouldn't have gotten far with it. I think she would have gotten dropped, or somebody would have grabbed her hand very quickly.
I think the president should drop her. I mean, a good shot.
No, the president.
Why not?
See, the president.
Why not?
The president, unlike you, Pastor, the president carries himself very well, unlike a lot of other presidents.
Brother, I didn't say anything bad about you. You don't have to say nothing bad about me. I didn't say anything bad about you,
but you're saying what he should do to some woman. I mean, no, he wouldn't do that. Yeah, he shouldn't do that. He has people around him. Should do that. If it came down twice.
Yeah, the president doesn't have to do that, and she wasn't a physical threat to him anyway.
And he wouldn't do that, and I don't think he felt threatened. And I think, you know, if this lady had a problem, she should have addressed him privately. I agree with you. Wait, Pastor. I agree with you. She did make herself look bad in doing that.
Yeah.
So
she did.
Now, you know.
And I think the president could have driven a point home if he would have bowed twice. And
this whole bowing twice thing, I don't understand that.
See, look at this man. He's laughing. Here, take it down. You got the man laughing.
Your friend wants to laugh at you, too. I'll sue you acting something.
Well, look at it. What I'm trying to say, both you gentlemen don't understand one thing. If I'm saying this, I'm saying, look, you give her the maximum amount of respect, then you got an excuse to go ahead and drop her.
Why would he need to do that, man?
Teach her a lesson. Okay, then, you know, okay, Phil, congratulations. Now you got a brother laughing at me. You got a brother laughing at me, so let me just...
Yay.
Way to go. I got a member of my own race laughing at me.
Oh, come on, take it easy.
If you wouldn't act like a clown, I mean, Phil, I don't know where you get your kids.
You know,
I'm sorry, Phil.
I got to take a break. I appreciate your call, Kenny, and I think you're right, and we're good observations. And I've seen it happen before, and thank you, Kenny, there, and Pastor William Rennick.
You got a brother laughing at
Take it easy there, Pastor. 877-876-PHIL. And the bowing from the waist twice, and then bow. President Barack Obama, was he disrespected by Jan Brewer? I think that there's been a consensus, perhaps. But does it carry additional significance when it's a white woman wagging her finger in the face of a black man? Are there cultural iconic... is there cultural iconic symbolism there? 877-876-PHIL, the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show. This is the world-famous Phil Hendry Show.
With Pastor William Renick from Joyful Union Congregation, Pastor Renick and I and you discussing Jan Brewer and President Obama, Governor Brewer and President Obama's meeting on a airport tarmac yesterday, and there was this image of the governor wagging her finger in the president's face. Pastor Renick has brought up what he thinks are racial overtones to this. This is Dr. Jim, I think it is, in San Diego. Go ahead, sir.
Yeah, Phil, my name's Dr. Jim Schaller, and this pastor that you have on your program right now, I think, is bringing up an issue that is a sexual politics as well as racial. Can I ask you a question? I'd like to be able to finish what I'm saying, please.
Let him finish.
Sexual politics as well as racial. When he says that an African-American man, like the president, had a finger wagged at him, I happen to be a man in my early 50s. I'm married to a woman who is 30 years younger than me. I have been in bodybuilding competitions and so forth. And yet I still, every time I speak, because I have a very pronounced speech impediment, I still have people, I can tell they're laughing. Because I have a physique that is very enhanced and significant, they don't want to laugh in my face because, you know, I have the strength to, I could hurt anybody. And I want to say something. You're saying, in other words, because you lift weight, and when you talk, people laugh, and because you're strong enough, you could break them in half. I could, if I wanted to, yeah, but I don't. Why not? Because I'm not an idiot. I'm not, you have to start the way you say, I'm not an idiot. So, right there, when you make fun of me, and I want to go and beat you up, okay? Yeah? But I don't do it, because I believe in civilization for people to be civilized. Well, look. You sound funny. I don't mean anything by this, but you sound weird. And I'd laugh even if I was standing in front of you. And the reason why I wouldn't fear for my safety is I'm a pastor. I've got a collar. I've got a religious calling. I've got a ministry. I've got a church. And you tell them you're going to beat me up? Well, they wouldn't. They put on a lynch party for you. You beat up a pastor. Well, then you would try to...
Well, hold on for a minute. So you think you could provoke this guy? And...
Yeah, well, no, I wouldn't want to provoke him. That's what I'm talking about, and this is what I mean about it. When Governor Brewer, I can't talk to this man because he sounds like he's got a mouth full of... I don't want to say it. Oh, I know what you mean.
All right, look, Dr. Jim, hang on for a minute here. Let me get to another phone call. 877-876-PHIL, because the gentleman, of my understanding, was very upset when he first called in. Let's go to another phone call. We have Carol on the line. Carol, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show with Dr. William Renick. Go ahead, please.
Yes, sir. I just, first of all, I hear he's a pastor, and I also go to church. And if I ever heard my pastor speak in the manner that you have spoken in tonight, I would leave your congregation. I mean, our pastors where we are, they don't cuss. They don't call people ugly.
I have not cussed, ma'am.
You called that lady the B word. You said the B word. You called her a B-I-T-C-H. You said she was ugly. She would make a dark road. Anyway,
yeah, that's right.
That is not the way that God has called you to speak to people. He wants you to bring people to him. Hey, can
he said call it as it is.
Sir, you
God said call it like it is.
You have had
God said, tell it like it is.
And you keep,
hold on.
But you're not telling it like it is. You
yes,
are.
I am. That woman got a face, make a train, freight train, take a dirt road.
Hold
you
on, Pastor.
Your own say so. You've had
yeah, you can't say stuff
mine.
That I didn't say. You can't say
you,
stuff I didn't say. I got to defend myself.
Like I said, you have your platform. You're not letting anybody else speak. I do not believe that God has called you. I think you called yourself. And anybody that goes to your church needs to run as quickly as possible. Because I would let you say the blessing over our dinner table. My children know better than this. I have a 16-year-old son in the car.
It depends on what you eat.
He could not believe that you talk that way. I don't understand. And you sitting there talking about her. She has children. She has a husband. She has grandchildren. How do you think you would ever reach them as a preacher talking to their grandmother? Or their
I would tell
them.
I would say your mother. You need to talk to your grandmother because she is walking off the path.
What about what you?
And then I would say,
whenever you get to heaven, and God says, "Sir, remember that day that you called that lady ugly and you called her a B? You're not representing
right.
me." So you're not
well, how do you know? I think it's amazing that you know what God's going to say. I think you are an amazing
no,
woman.
Saying,
you must be God.
Bible,
you must be God because you know what you don't know what God's going to say to me.
That's right,
God's going to say to me,
read the Bible,
thank you, Pastor Rennick. Thank you for telling the truth about that woman because I just as soon plunge a bucket full of buttermilk as take a look at her.
You okay, have your own platform. All you do is you spread rhetoric, and you are very prejudiced. I can tell that.
Ma'am, I'm still going to bless your meal. I'm still coming to your house to bless your meal.
No, you would never step foot in our house because we don't believe that you are a God called. You are a man called. And there's no telling how much money you make.
I am a man.
And you, no, you're not.
I'm mostly woman called, though. I'm a woman called.
You also said that he should hit her. So you're saying it's okay.
He should hit her. Any woman that wags her finger in a black man's face, saying him go get slot bucket.
The
yeah.
Man. Why did you?
Yep.
Phil and
wait a minute, where'd she go? Where'd she go?
You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
And welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Pastor William Rennick has joined us as we talk about Jan Brewer, President Obama, the propriety of her shaking her finger at him, which I think we are agreed, Pastor Rennick, that it was improper.
I don't think we agreed that at all. I don't think we agreed that at all.
I think we're agreed that it is improper to disrespect an American president. It's just, you know, the decorum is not proper no matter who.
Okay, if you say that that's what we've agreed to, I haven't heard that at all, Phil. What I'm hearing tonight are people saying that Obama should stand there and take it like he's some mule, like he's a rented mule. And
no, I don't haven't heard anybody say that. I've heard people say that there should not be a violence. I've heard people say that it shouldn't be racial.
Well, maybe it shouldn't be racial, but it is. It has very significant racial overtone when a white woman stands there and does what we call a slop bucket wag. Now, everybody who...
What is the slop bucket wag? Is this a new thing you just came up with?
No. What do you mean new thing I came up with? Boy, you really got to get with it. You really got to get with it, boy. And
boy, huh?
That's right. Boy. That's right. Because you have got clue one of what's going on out here. Now, the slop bucket wag is known by everyone. Everyone, it's anyone. When I say anyone, you know, what I mean is, anybody who is a who's who in the black community knows what a slop bucket wag is.
And what is it, a dance?
A dance? I just got telling you it is a disrespectful finger wagging. And
what do you mean anybody who's anybody in the black community ought to know what it is?
I just said, it so happens a who's who of black people. And when I say who's who, Denzel Washington, Condoleezza Rice, Colin Powell, you name it, Barack Obama, they all know the slop bucket wagon. What I'm trying to say is that it is so well known that white people don't know what it is. That's why I'm on your program.
Well, you've done your very best, I think, to obfuscate this.
No, I have not done my very best. You've done your very best, Mr. Hendry, to ignore the fact that I am a preacher, a man of the cloth, you talk to me like I'm some kind of a, well, you talk to me like I ought to be hauling a slop bucket. I happen to be a reverend, a man of the cloth, a man of God. All right? God come down, and he sees me, and he sees you. The first thing he's going to do is ask me for a report, not you. Me.
Well,
that's right. When the rapture comes, and Jesus takes a look around, and he needs somebody to give him a report, he's going to go, okay, where's Rennick? Aha, come here. Report. You know how they do that in the Army? Was you ever in the Army? You weren't in the Army. A lot of times the commanding officer say report. That's all he... Well, all he has to do is say report. And you better spill your guts about everything you know.
And you think when Jesus arrives during the rapture, he's going to look for you and all the other preachers and say report.
That's right. Well, I don't know about all the other ones.
877-876-PHIL. Let me go over here to Armin. And Armin is on the Phil Hendry Show. Sir, go ahead.
Well, thank you so much, Paul. Give me a chance
to
express my opinion. My point is that Arizona governor, Mrs. Jane Brewer, she's a federal offender. She wants, you know, to round up all the illegal immigrants, mostly colored people, and put them in Arizonian private prisons, you know, in order to exploit their cheap and actually practically free labor, you know. And I believe that...
There you go.
But President Obama did the right thing, that he ordered federal attorneys to sue Governor Brewer in federal court, you know, in Arizona.
There you go.
And to get an injunction against anti-immigrant legislation, which now invalidated. And believe
what do you think about that, Phil? That man is speaking the truth.
Mr. Grover shouldn't obsess with you, because he's obsessed.
Wait a minute. Hold on for a minute. You're saying that Jan Brewer is rounding up all the what you call colored people, Hispanic people and people of color, and she's doing that so there's cheap slave labor in the Southwest? Is that what you're saying?
Yes.
Yeah, that's exactly what he's saying.
Her intention.
Right. And for all we know, when she got down there, she probably want to grab Obama and say, boy, if you weren't the president, you'd make a real good slop bucket carry. That's what I'm trying to say.
Well, it sounds a little paranoid. I mean, I don't mean to disrespect it. It sounds a little paranoid to say that the governor of a state wants to organize a racketeer-influenced organization of slave labor. That is a federal crime. She'd wind up in prison. He doesn't have to sue her. He can have her arrested. So thank you very much, Armin, for your call. 877-876-PHIL.
Why'd you hang up on that man? That man...
I think it's a little far-fetched. I'm sorry, you know. It's one thing to talk politics. It's another thing to then use those politics to somehow concoct some...
That woman, you know full well that there's a whole lot of illegal immigrant coming into Arizona. She complaining about it. How do we know she's not rounding them up and benefiting from it? And quite possibly got herself a nice, tidy, beautiful dollar she's making from it.
Obama could... Well, this guy's saying she's... Obama'd have her arrested.
Obama ain't that bright. Now, he...
He's not that bright, is he?
I didn't know. No, I didn't mean to say that. What I said was...
No, I heard what you said. Obama ain't that bright. So she's pulling a fast one on him. Love it. Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. Here is Tony. Go ahead, Tony. You're on the Phil Hendry Show.
Hey, I agree with part of what
you were
saying about the racial overtones. Because let's face it, black men have died on the word of white women for hundreds of years. I mean, lynching.
It's the truth, yeah.
Till, whatever. So there really is a very strong image there, you know, with her white.
Absolutely.
Just so disrespectful. And it does have racial overtones. And you know, one thing that really kind of kills me sometimes when I hear these people call in talking about the race card. Well, if we got one card, who got the rest of the deck? That's what somebody need to ask. You know,
because, I love that. You know,
one card.
If they got the race card, who got the rest of the deck?
That's right.
That's
all I have to say. And I think when you look at history, how many black men have died and been hung and lynched and burned to death. Kills me when white people want to talk about who's paranoid when they're the ones that perpetrated this for hundreds of years. And then they
got to figure that one out.
When something is racist or not. I
remember that one. Who got the rest of that? You got the race card. Who got the rest of that? I got to remember that.
That's right.
I love that one, sister. Thank you very much.
All right, dear. Thank you very much for your call. I think that historically one has to acknowledge that that has been at least a part of the story. That and she, the phrase that she used, black men have died on the word of a white woman before.
Absolutely, Phil. And that's what I've been saying. And
no, you haven't been saying that at all. That lady said in 30 seconds more than you've said in an hour and a half.
Well, that hurts. I'm at the right now, I'll tell you right. It hurts. And
well, you're Pastor Renick, you have been all over the street with this thing. You're telling me about bowing twice and a solar plexus shot.
No, that all of that was leading up to what that sister just said.
And you could have just said it. And then you're telling me about God knows what. I mean,
you see, you're not paying attention. Just remember, if you want to play the race card.
Yeah, I know. Who's got the rest of the deck?
Woo! I love that.
877, good Lord. 877-876-PHIL is the number here on the Phil Hendry Show. I'm going to go up and take Catherine. I think this is Catherine. Catherine?
Yes. Hi, how are you?
Hi, you're on the air. You're on the Phil Hendry Show. Go ahead, Catherine.
Are you there?
Yes, ma'am, I'm here, and you're on
Hi,
the
well,
air. Go
is,
ahead.
Well, this is the first time that I've called a talk radio show, and I just wanted to share a few thoughts.
Welcome
so,
on board, ma'am. My name is Pastor William Renick.
I'll do the talking. Thank you. Go ahead.
Okay, and I realize that we as human beings respond to situations many times based on our personal experience. And so with that in mind, I would like to share that I think that if I saw the picture such as this, that I would look at it as an elected official who's very angry with the president. The fact that it was a woman and the fact that it was a man would not be an issue for me. And the fact that one was white and one was black would not be an issue. I think that it's a picture of someone who's very angry, and it also is disrespectful. So I believe that it's not, to me, and I know that other people have different opinions, it's not such a race issue, but an issue of respect. And I think that we are called to treat all people with respect, regardless of who they are, regardless of whether they hold a position, whether they're wealthy, whether they're beautiful, whether they have nice clothes. It should not make any difference.
Right.
I have just a few things to say, and I'd love
I totally
to
agree. I just want to say I agree with you, ma'am. I agree with you.
Okay.
I just want to say I agree.
Good.
That's a beautiful
and
thing.
Also,
but Jan Brewer ain't beautiful.
You didn't have to say that.
Sorry.
Well, you know what? She might be beautiful.
God.
You just might not see it. And also, feel very strongly that physical violence is never okay. And it doesn't matter how angry we are or how put down we feel. I think when we're in positions like that where we feel angry and have that sense of wanting to respond, I believe that before God we are called to respond with grace.
Wait,
just let me finish. I have just a few
things. Hold on.
I'm
hearing something though.
We are called.
What is that?
I just got a stomachache. I'm sorry.
Yeah,
you know,
are
Pastor,
called to respond with grace, and it's an opportunity to respond with humility, which I think is more an elevated position.
A very good point. Now, I want to just interrupt here for a moment. Hold on for a minute, Catherine. I've got, what is wrong, Pastor Renick?
I started getting a stomachache because the lady was talking too much.
Well, that's not for your call, and you know what? That's rude of you to interrupt what the lady was saying with the,
Well, ma'am, didn't you think you were talking too much?
I'll just finish up here, and then you can take the floor. But because Barack Obama is in a position of leadership,
my wife just told me to shut up. My wife just told me to shut up. How do you like that? My own wife.
She's right. Shut up. Catherine, continue.
So because President Obama is in a position of leadership, I think he has even a greater responsibility to respond with grace while wielding the power and authority that he has. And because you are a pastor, I would encourage and exhort you to consider the fact. Well, this is. I really want to share this.
Would you shut your mouth? Because the lady trying to talk.
I would encourage.
And you were telling me to shut my mouth.
May I speak?
Yes, ma'am.
I would encourage and exhort you to consider.
Okay, he's messing around. Pastor Renick, if you don't shut up, I'm going to put you on hold.
Now, you just told me to shut up just like my wife did.
That's right. Both of us did.
So, Pastor Remick, because you're a pastor, I would encourage...
My name is not Remick. It's Renick. Not Renick. It's Renick. You put your name up, carved up my reputation.
Oh, God.
Should I continue? I'm almost
Catherine,
finished.
Just very quick. Yeah, I got 10 okay. seconds, please.
Yeah, because
very
you're
quickly.
A pastor, I would encourage you and exhort you to consider the fact that God made all people of all races... And he appreciates them very much. And I think you have a responsibility to look at other people that way as well. And not
very good, Catherine.
Them by how they're raised.
Absolutely.
And I find your comments,
you're very kind, dear.
I find your comments sexist and prejudicial, both to blacks and whites and men and women.
Thank you very much, Ben. Ladies and gentlemen, that was Catherine, and she is the Secretary of State for Alabama. She's going to be nominated for Vice President of the United States. Very nice speech.
You're real rude, you know that?
I told him he would not shut his mouth. You hear that? My own woman tell me to shut up.
You have been running your yap through that whole lady's phone call.
So?
So why don't you be quiet and let her finish?
She was going on about nothing. Nothing from nothing leaves nothing. Check yours out, see if it don't come out the same.
Get out of here before I flip. And he's, I got a stomach ache. And what a child. 877-876-PHIL. What we've learned tonight is, number one, it was disrespectful for her to wag a finger in the president's face. Number two, there's a racial divide. My black listeners believe that, yes, there is racial significance and resonance to that act. My white listeners don't see it. Number three, Pastor Renick is still just as flipped out and whacked out as ever, and now he's laying out that whole, if Jesus comes back tomorrow and he wants a report, he's going to him, not anybody else. 877-876-PHIL, the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Hendry Show.
Renick Report.
Welcome back to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, 877-876-PHIL. We're going to get back to the phone calls. I was talking off the air with Pastor Renick about a story we're going to do in our News and Information Hour. A Pakistani doctor who assisted the CIA and U.S. intelligence in identifying bin Laden in the compound. He was a doctor that was doing a vaccination program and collecting DNA. And this man is now in the custody of the Pakistanis. And I had said to him, you know, American, white or black, American CIA agents would not make good deep cover agents.
Right, and I asked you why, and you said because of the wrong race. Now, I say that's racist.
Well, I don't understand. Why would a white man or an African man look normal in a country filled with South Asian, Pakistani, Indian, Aryan people? You know what I'm talking about. We wouldn't let, but you don't develop it. I'm not going to. Dwayne Claridge, I read his book, and he said that the best that any agent from America can do in a situation like that is develop agents who are native to the country. Develop deep cover people, informant people who are native to the country.
I don't even know what you're talking. Who's Dwayne Claridge?
He was a CIA agent.
But I think it's racist for you to say that a black man can't go to Pakistan and be whatever you want to call it, like a James Bond or whatever you want to call it. All white men. They can do the job just as well.
No, they cannot do the job just as well. They're the wrong color. The wrong color.
That's racist. And you don't see it.
You don't understand what you're talking about.
I see. So you're Mr. CIA, is that it? Am I talking to James Bond? Is that your name is James Bond?
No, my name isn't James Bond. No, it would be James Bond, but it's Phil Hendry.
What'd you say?
My name would be James Bond, not Jane.
I'm not familiar with it. I'm just saying, you were talking all about race card, too. Just remember, when you play the race card, who's got the rest of the deck? I think that is very, it's a very cogent thought, and very...
Let me get to a phone call here, please, Pastor. 877-876-PHIL is our number. I'm going to get over here to
our caller, Sean. Sean, hi, you're on the Phil Hendry Show here with Pastor William Rennick. Go ahead, sir.
I just wanted to say, Phil, I love your show. I'm addicted. I'll try to keep my comment as brief as possible. I also respect the pastor here as well, and I definitely do share his outrage at what I saw. I mean, he is the president of the United States. I voted for him. I'm a white man. I live in Hamilton, Massachusetts.
You think a white man could be a deep cover agent in Pakistan?
Would you let the man finish?
I'll try to keep it brief. I know in my heart that the pastor is a better man than that of what he's betraying here on the radio. He's got to be smarter than that. He's probably given to many charities. He's probably helped people out in need. He is better than this. Obama, he presented himself very professionally. He did what any president would have done. I hated George Bush, but I was equally outraged at the shoe incident a few years back there. There's no excuse for that, and she needs to give Obama, President Obama, that's how I should address him, not just Obama, she needs to give him a public apology. She will never get elected as governor for what she did. There's no way in hell. It's just never going to happen. I don't know if it does resonate racial, indifferences, if you will.
Where are you from, anyway? Resonate. Where are you from, man?
Hamilton, Massachusetts.
And where's that?
Hamilton, Massachusetts.
It's right under New Hampshire. I'm right near
New York?
New Hampshire border. No,
it's near New Hampshire. It's not New York.
Sure. Yeah, but, it does resonate, it looks racially bad if you don't know what's going on. I didn't read the whole article. I know it was about immigration.
And we know, it's the slop bucket rag, that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, he keeps going
okay.
back.
All right.
I know he's more educated than this. His wife, she's telling him to shut up. Yeah, a black man was laughing at him. He's better than this. Pastor,
how can a black man laugh at? Why would a black man laugh at me? I'm black. And Mr. Henry Lennon.
You heard that earlier.
Oh, that's.
The show.
What are you talking about?
And that woman wouldn't let speak. Yes, she was a little bit long-winded, but she was trying to make her point. She was being very polite. She didn't.
By the way, and I want to say one thing, Sean. While you've been talking, and you've been talking very well, Pastor Rennick has belched twice.
I know. I heard
yes,
that.
You know.
Also.
Yes, you have. You belched twice.
I know.
Sean, you're a good man.
Phil.
Yeah. Thank you very much. But we do have to take a break, okay?
Yeah, cut this guy off.
No, I'm not cutting anybody. Thank you very much, Sean. You're a good man. Very well said. World famous Phil Hendry Show. We'll be back with our news. Thank you very much, Pastor.
You don't mean that.
Yes, I do mean that.
You let a brother laugh at me. My wife laughed at me. You laughed at me. For all I know, Sean hung the phone up. He's laughing at me. And that one lady, she's laughing at me. Even though I laughed at, I got the car, the rate, you got the rest of the deck. Now I forget.
Phil Hendry.
How's that go?
From the shores of El Pacifico.
It is, yeah.
Phil Hendry.
World famous Phil Hendry Show on Phil TV in HD right now. If you're watching, you probably wonder, what is that, Phil? That is a recording from earlier tonight. That is a recording of from NASA of the Russian craft Progress docking with the sky with the space station, International Space Station. There's a couple of cuts that we've been showing here periodically. So that's a little bit of what our Phil TV and HD people watch. Sometimes Phil will record something off the net and show them a little bit of this and a little bit of that. We did show it live earlier tonight. Well, before the show started, we had it on live. And we had a very bizarre commentary coming from Jane Wayne Font. Remember that guy?
Yeah, that guy. Whatever that guy's problem was, somebody should not have named him Jane.
Well, he was the NASA commentator there on NASA TV. And he was talking with Jay McDaniels or something, and the two of these nuts, they were talking about the International Space Station and the Russian craft docking, but more to the point, they were trying to figure out where the egg salad sandwiches came from, and oh yeah, could Jane Way Font get one? A man named Jane.
What about a boy named Sue? So that's the whole point of that song.
Yeah, that's great, Robert.
But whatever, man. What difference that make?
Because on that song, the guy said... You know, he wanted to name his son... Well, you forget about whether he named his son. That's a song by Johnny Cash. And he does say at the end, I wouldn't name my son Sue, so it's a stupid idea. Thank you. So this guy, Jane,
who's doing the NASA TV coverage, wondering, hey, by the way, as long as we're waiting for the space station and the Russian craft to dock, where'd you get the egg salad sandwich? A little weird. This is a story that is very sad. We were talking about it during the break, and I feel compelled to bring it up. Maybe it's because it's in my own neighborhood. Maybe it's because I've been a longtime football fan and also a big, big supporter of high school football in our area. I currently live in the Ventura, Los Angeles area. We live, you know, near the Ventura County line. And high school football is like it is all over the country. It's huge out there. We've had a lot of great teams. Our kids went to Oaks Christian, and two of the guys, Nick and Alex, played varsity football for Oaks Christian, which is a huge, hugely successful program. Thousand Oaks, Westlake, Hart, which is the home of Kyle Bowler, and there's been a lot of players, and Notre Dame and Crespi. So we've got, you know, a lot of good high school football schools out here, and one of them is Thousand Oaks. And one of their players, a promising young man, was Griffin Kramer. Griffin Kramer was found dead at a friend's house from a heroin overdose in October of 2011 after he'd been out allegedly snorting heroin. And this young man, Griffin Kramer, you may recognize the family name. His father was Eric Kramer, who played with the Chicago Bears, played with the Atlanta Falcons, played with the San Diego Chargers, played with the Detroit Lions. Eric Kramer finished with a very credible and decent career, 3,000 yards a season. That was his son. Eric Kramer grew up in Encino, California. He went to school at L.A. Pierce, and then he transferred to North Carolina State. He was undrafted, but he did eventually work his way into a... It's pretty sad, you know.
The kid was how old?
The kid was 18. He was a senior. And I got to tell you, it's horrible. It's just, it's a horrible thing. And, you know, I don't want to come off like daddy here. I would never presume to lecture people. I you're going to do what you're going to do, and I'm not going to judge. What I will say is, just, you know, when you're talking about someone's life, you can't mess around. Even if you got to risk getting arrested, you know, even if it means you're going to get popped, you can't do that. You know, if you've got a friend and the friend is not doing well, this kid, Griffin Kramer, this boy was incoherent. He was out, man.
They took him back to the house.
They took him back to the house and just laid him in bed, thinking, well, he'll sleep it off. This is as soon as he snorted this stuff, whatever it was, he was like gone, man. It was like that scene in Pulp Fiction, you know.
They had to give her a drone shot.
Yeah, so in any event, what I'm saying is, you don't drive him around and wonder what to do and then take him to a friend's house and put him in bed. You got to get him to a hospital. I'm not saying anything. I'm not saying bad, bad, bad. I ain't saying that. I'm not saying don't. I'm not going to do that. I'm not going to. That your mother and your father should do that. You should do that. I'm just not going to set myself. But I will tell you this. Whatever you do in life, whatever your choices you make in life, they're all yours, but you do not have the right to let a friend of yours die because suddenly you want to save your own ass. That ain't the way the game is played. You got to, you know, if you want to get in and you want to play the game, you got to play it all the way to the end of the road, man, all the way to the end of the line. And that means somebody is overdosing in your car or in your house. You got to get them to the hospital. And if that means you're going to go to jail, well, that's just too bad because this kid died because people panicked and they were covering their own asses. Yeah, I mean, I
kind of started the hour on a bummer, didn't you?
Well, maybe I just felt like starting the hour on a bummer. How about that, bud? I mean, that just, it affected me, okay? Started the hour on a bummer.
I just say it.
I'd have smack your ass. I mean, it's a drag, you know, and there's a family without a son now. Yeah, I know he made a mistake. Yeah, I know people make mistakes. Yeah, I know they're kids. I get it. Am I going to blame a guy for being a kid? No. Are kids dumb sometimes? Yeah. Are adults dumb sometimes? Yeah. You know, unfortunately, when adults are dumb, you can always say to the adult, well, hey, you know, you survived this long, you're an adult, so you're responsible for yourself. But when a kid goes down, it sucks because you realize that these are mistakes that they should have been perhaps protected from. But the biggest one that was made here, and you can talk all you want about whether what they did was right or was wrong. Was it wrong? Yeah, it was wrong. But I ain't going to sit here and go into a whole thing about drugs. That's not what this is about. This is about these friends who decided after the guy had OD'd that they were going to drive around with him because they were scared that they'd get their ass popped, and so they don't want that to happen, so their friend dies. And maybe they didn't look at it that way, but they're driving around in a panic, and then they finally take him back to a house and lay him in a bed. He was dead the next morning. He could have been in a hospital. You know, that's the screw up there, in my opinion, but that's just my opinion. So, you know, some people may say, oh, I see, Mr. Henry, so you're saying it's okay to do drugs so long as you, if your friend ODs, you take him to a hospital. No, I didn't say that. I said the second half. I said, if your friend ODs, take him to a hospital. Well, what about the drug part? I said, I'm not going to comment on that.
Who are you talking to?
What do you mean, who am I talking? It's an example of something, okay?
Sound like you're talking to a guy.
I am. I'm talking to an imaginary guy. You guys talk to imaginary people. Well, I'm talking to an imaginary people.
Is that your imaginary friend?
Yes, it's my imaginary friend.
What's his name?
Well, his name... Will you shut up? Pakistan, here's something that... This is what I really wanted to talk about, and I got a little bit sidetracked. And this one really bugs me. I mean, it bugs me for different reasons. When the CIA and the SEALs and the whole kit and caboodle, the American, the U.S. intelligence apparatus, decided to jump in and... And the illustrious career of Osama bin Laden. They had a lot of help on the ground, as we like to say, the boots on the ground thing. They had a lot of help in country. Now, the Pakistanis, or whatever they are, we don't know, and we frankly don't want to know. I mean, they're a mess. They're just a mess. How loyal they are, how much of a friend they are, I don't know. But we do know one thing. Forget about the Pakistani government. Individual Pakistanis were very friendly to us and risked their lives so that these SEALs could go in and take this piece of garbage down and get all of that intel, as they call it, back to the United States. And one of the Pakistani nationals that risked his life was a man by the name of, he's a doctor. His name was Shakil Afridi. Dr. Afridi, under the aegis of the CIA, started a vaccination program in the area around Osama bin Laden's compound. Yes, to vaccinate the people, but also he was collecting DNA to verify bin Laden's presence in the compound.
But what, you're saying that he's going to come and get a measles shot?
No, bin Laden's not going to come and get a measles shot, man. But there were a lot of kids in that compound, and they wanted to see if any of the DNA in that compound matched the DNA they had on record of Osama bin Laden, and it did. So...
Yeah, so one of the kids had a shot.
Somehow they were able, through this vaccination program. But the point is this. This is a doctor, a Pakistani national, who was assisting the United States in locating Osama bin Laden so he could be killed. Now, this man is currently under arrest in Pakistan for treason. And we can argue the merit of that, but it's pointless. The Pakistanis are going to do whatever the hell it is they want to do with him, and there is nothing we got to say about it. But the thing that I wished would have happened, and maybe it's not reasonable, because God knows how many people in Pakistan helped us, or helped our government, or helped the CIA in locating bin Laden, but you wish they would have taken this guy with them, you know?
Well, yeah, they could have put him on a helicopter or something.
Well, why didn't they?
But I'm thinking they didn't because they probably would have had to take a lot of guys, you know. But this man has been mentioned. He has been revealed by Leon Panetta. Panetta acknowledged publicly for the first time on Friday, that a Pakistani doctor provided key information to the United States in advance of the successful Navy SEAL assault on bin Laden's compound last May. Panetta told CBS's 60 Minutes in a profile to be broadcast on Sunday that Shakil Afridi helped provide intelligence for the raid on bin Laden's compound. Afridi ran a vaccination program for the CIA to collect DNA. Panetta also told 60 Minutes that he remains convinced that someone in the Pakistani government must have had some sense that a person of interest was in the compound. But anyway, Dr. Afridi has been charged by Pakistan with treason. And Panetta says he's very concerned for the doctor. And I guess you do these things, you know, you run the risk, you do at your own risk, or however they say it, but this is a guy that hung his ass out to dry there for the U.S. Now, maybe he got money. I don't know. But whether or not he was paid, he still did a job. He completed the job. He was successful in doing the job. He did it at risk to life and limb. And in so doing it, we were able to nail the number one most wanted man in the world who'd been escaped for 10 years, or who had escaped for over, almost 10 years. And who knows what's going to happen to this guy?
Think they're probably going to kill him?
I don't know. He won't get out of prison. I don't think this Afridi guy, unless the U.S. wants to do a swap, how they work these deals where they get a guy out, he'd probably never see the light of day. But who knows? All right, Phil Henry Show here, 877-876-PHIL, and this is our news and information hour, as we do it each and every night. And coming up tonight, we will be live and local, but we are still here on Phil TV and HD at 7 o'clock. That's 7 o'clock Pacific Standard Time. Coming up, Newt Gingrich's whole idea on the moon base, man, and the GOP insider's approach to, quote, cutting Newt Gingrich down. And anything else that we find that's even more interesting than that, coming up on The Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show. You're listening to the world-famous Phil Henry Show.
Welcome back here, the world-famous Phil Henry Show. We had a little bit of economic news I actually wanted to get into here. And first of all, Facebook is going to go public. They're readying an IPO, initial public offering profile. And I think, just to give an example, I was talking to a friend of mine, and we were talking about money that we got in whatever, man. Because I've got a retirement,
What's that all about?
You put money into your retirement fund. Some of it's in stocks. And a lot of the stuff that I've got my money in is what they call a blue chip. And believe it or not, one of the blue chips is, I didn't think it would still be a blue chip after all these years, was IBM. IBM still trades at a really healthy price. So when I think about good buys, good stock buys, here comes Facebook. Okay.
Now, I think that'd be worth a lot of money.
Sure, it seems like it would be worth a lot of money. Well, what are you buying when you buy Facebook? You're buying what?
What do you mean, what are you buying?
What are you buying when you buy Facebook? Are you buying, if you buy stock in Facebook, what are you buying? You're buying what? You're buying stock in what kind of a company?
Well, you're buying, social media.
Yeah. Okay, well, what does that mean, social? In other words, what is the, the company is a social media company. That means people just talk to each other and make really cool pictures and pick each other up in the chat room. And that's what you're investing in, some sort of large vehicle for people to meet and to interact and to socialize, correct?
Yeah.
I don't think that's a good buy at all, because...
why not? Everybody goes on Facebook.
Yeah, I know, but the entire nature of the so-called social media is one that people are right now, as we speak, people are working and sweating and, working well into the wee hours of the dawn to find new and better ways to do it, man. Facebook is just the first one out of the gate. The first one out of the gate. Now,
Yeah, but what about Ford? That was the first one.
That's not true. Ford was not the first one. Ford was not the very first assembly line, if you want to be completely honest about it. The first assembly line in the United States was developed by Olds, the Oldsmobile. But it was Ford that perfected the operation. And this is what I think of when I think of people jumping all over something because they think it's a marvelous idea. I wonder, has the idea been explored or looked at in an intelligent way? And... when we're talking about Facebook, who the hell knows? I mean, we had MySpace and Facebook.
Yeah, we know it better than MySpace.
You know it's better than MySpace. Coming along next year, the year after that, might be something else that kicks the crap out of Facebook. Or the whole idea of social interaction will leave this massive platform, and it'll become much more personal. It might turn into a much smaller networks, which I, you know, that's what Google is trying to do with Google Plus, which I can't figure that out for love or money. There's people who dig Google Plus. I ain't one of them, and I don't know a whole lot of people that do.
Johnny Bean thinks it's bitching.
Okay, so Johnny Bean thinks it's bitching. So what?
Yeah, well, he's pretty smart.
Okay, he's smarter than me, man. I don't figure it out. I look at Google Plus. I can't. I don't know what it is. It scares me. Circles, and then it's like half Twitter and half Facebook. It's weird, man. But I know that that's what they're trying to do. They're trying to make it more of a smaller network thing, you know. So you need to make these predictions. People want to know who's going to be a good buy. I wouldn't run off and buy bunches of Facebook stock because, first of all, I don't think it can get any more popular. It can't get any. I mean, yeah, they're trying to raise money through a public offering because they've made about as much money as they're going to make with however they've been driving revenue, the advertising model that they've been using. And now they want to, you know, get out there into the world of stocks, offering stocks, and make the big time change there. And how much bigger is that company going to get? And what else are they going to do? What else are they going to offer? What does Facebook offer that's vital?
What do you mean vital? You mean like what people really got to have?
Yes. What does Facebook offer that is so vital that people can't get it somewhere else?
Well, I mean, not that people got to have it, but they do want to have, they want to rub it, or not rub it.
What do you mean rub it? Does that mean rub it?
They want to rub up against it, kind of.
Boy, Bud, I'd have no better than to ask you, you know.
What do you mean rub up against it? I'm trying to make sense. They want to know it's there so they can just rub it.
Will you get out of here with rub it? What do you mean by that, man? That's you're acting too weird.
It's just my way of saying they want to have it close by.
God, rub it. Well, you ain't telling me anything that's knocking me out. You're not telling me anything about Facebook that makes me want to run out and buy stocks. What the hell is that company going to offer, or what are they offering now that I can't potentially get someplace else better, or that I cannot at least, you know, I can look at that and say, well, you know, I'm going to go out and make something better than this, man. I'm going to make it smaller. I'm going to make it much more... far more contact with people in my own area, these networks, the idea of networks. I'm going to make this far more user-friendly. I'm going to, you know, Facebook has gotten, is it going to get bigger? Are there going to be more people using Facebook? And if there's more people using Facebook, they've already got issues in terms of privacy. They got issues in terms of viruses and, you know, Trojan horses infecting computers. Now what am I going to do, man? I'm going to jump in on an initial public offering on a company that whose problems may not get much bigger, but whose potential and whose purpose in life can't get any bigger. Or maybe I'm wrong. World famous Phil Hendry Show.
I think you're wrong.
Yeah, well, why don't you go rub up against it then?
Phil Hendry. You're listening to the world famous Phil Hendry Show.
Well, anyway, welcome back here to the world-famous Phil Hendry Show, and I want to thank people who have asked about, you know, hey, Phil, how's your sleep, man? Because I've got an insomnia thing. And I went through my entire history of insomnia before the show started here on Phil TV and HD. We do a pre-show.
Yeah, tell everybody. This is pretty funny.
Yeah. Oh, it's funny, huh? You like the part of...
Yeah, but when you were peeing in it...
All right, be quiet. I'll tell it. You don't have to tell it. God.
I can't believe, man, you did that.
Let me explain it, all right, if you don't mind.
Wait till you hear this. He gets out of bed.
But will you shut up for a minute? Let me explain it. So, thank you, folks, for your concern. Yeah, I have sleep issues. There are millions of Americans who do. It is not pleasant. We do what we can. We fight the good fight. We go to work. We're half out. We're half in the bag. People wonder why we drink coffee. Come on. You know, what else are we going to do? Take handfuls of speed? Believe me, if I could, I'd be doing just gram. I'm kidding.
You're going to say cocaine.
No, I was just joking. All right. Now, to answer the question of people, I have been to the doctor, and I'll probably take some mild sleep sedative just to kind of turn things around. The hours that we work here are very weird. We're working on the West Coast. We get off the air at 1 o'clock. Now, that sounds probably like enough time to have a normal life. Well, you know, 1 o'clock, a lot of people go to bed late. But you don't understand, when you're working, especially doing this kind of work until 1, you're not getting to bed till 4 o'clock. It's just no way.
I don't get to bed like 5 o'clock.
Yeah, and we don't even do nothing.
Well, that's the truth. You don't do anything.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. And you guys don't get to bed till 5. What are you doing, playing video games?
Pretty much.
So, the hour's a little twisted, and my sleep has always been very strange ever since I was a little kid. I joked with somebody one day. I said, well, you know, if it hadn't been for my... And as a child, you don't think of it as being insomnia. As a kid, you're just... You wake up, and it's kind of cool, and the night looks dark and spooky, and you turn your radio on, and you get a book out, and you turn a flashlight on, and you're reading under the sheets, and you're doing a lot of kid stuff, and the next day, you don't feel it at all. I never felt it. Throughout my entire childhood, throughout my entire teen years, throughout my entire 20s, really, I never felt fatigue during the day. But I've had a variety of sleep issues. One of them is sleep paralysis, which I talked about. I don't think we talked about it on the air, did we?
I don't think so, man. That's spooky.
Yeah, sleep paralysis, you don't want, man. You don't want that. That's when you wake up or you're in sort of a twilight state, but you can't move your body. And you're trying like a son of a gun to move your body, and just maybe your finger moves. It's really, it's hellish, man. And then you finally get everything moving, and you wake up, and you're breathing like you just ran a 100-yard dash. You're just, you know, your heart's racing. So that's just nuts. And I got a whole line of things I could tell you about that. But Bud wants me to tell a story about the sleepwalking. Is that it?
Yeah, this is fantastic.
Yeah, uh-huh. In my 20s, and I've, by the way, just so you know, I've been able to conquer that sleep paralysis thing by way of diet. In fact, I used to be a pretty good drinker, never had a problem with it, but I used to hit the ball a long way on the weekends, as we say. And in the last 5 or 6 years, my drinking has gone way down, just for no other reason than I'm not interested. You know, just haven't really had the occasion to go out and get hammered. I haven't been interested in it. I think we've thrown the tequila back here on a few nights doing tequila shots and stuff on Phil TV, and we may do it at the Super Bowl too, so that helped. The other thing that I found out the other night, I had a little bit of sleep paralysis, and I'd gone off my diet. And I'd started eating?
What?
I had some cheese, man.
So you're telling me you got some kind of a cheese allergy that makes you turn into a zombie? That's insane.
How do you know it's insane?
You're trying to tell me that on account of what you eat a piece of cheese, you're a zombie? That don't make no sense.
Did I say zombie? Where'd you get zombie?
Well, you're talking you zombied out.
I ain't zombied out. I said I got sleep paralysis.
Same difference.
Hey, Bud, do you know anything about it?
Not really.
Well, then be quiet. Are you telling me that because you eat a piece of cheese, you're a zombie?
Well, that's what it sounds like to me, and that's what you're trying to get everybody out there to get scared about and scaring me. I'm afraid if I have myself a piece of sharp cheddar, I'm the walking dead.
What are you laughing at?
If I have a piece of sharp cheddar, I'm the walking dead. I hate to break the news. You already are the walking dead. What do you think of that?
Shut up!
That's beautiful. Look, man, you don't even know what you're talking about. Sleep paralysis is not zombie, and it ain't the walking dead. You must be talking about something else, like narcolepsy.
You mean it exists?
No, it don't exist. Narcolepsy's really weird. You ever heard of that?
Uh-uh.
Narcolepsy is like if you get too emotional, you fall asleep. You ever heard of that?
I ain't never heard of that, no.
Yeah. Yeah. There's people who, if, there's cats, honest to God, there are people that if you're like sitting and all of a sudden some dudes bust into the house and they want to rob you, you'll fall asleep.
It'd be like you faint.
Well, it might have been, it has been mistaken for that, that the person faints. But in point of fact, they're falling asleep. Actually, if you think about it, it's pretty cool. You know, it kind of saves you from all the trauma of what's going on. But yeah, that's narcolepsy. It could be dangerous. But anyway, to give you the story of the sleepwalking thing, and I only did it in my 20s because I was really partying like a madman in those days. And all kinds of different things that you're putting into your body. And you're young, you're 20 or something, and you're going crazy. That was me. And so I'm, you know, running riot. And I notice on a couple of occasions I start walking in my sleep. One time when I was living in upstate New York, I was working at a radio station up there, I woke up in my apartment and I can't describe this any way other than to say, I was trying to close these cabinet doors, but what I was actually doing was I was opening them up and trying to get them to overlap. I can't explain it any other way than that. You know? But and then another night, I woke up outside. Now, I was rooming with a friend of mine. This is in California. And what woke me up was a door slamming behind me. I turn around, the door was slammed behind, and I'm outside. Thank God I was in my underwear, at least. And I immediately knew what I'd done. I was, oh, my, I walked in my sleep. I'm outside, man. And I went around to the front, and the good news was, thank God, I tried to get in through the door I just walked out of, but it locked behind me. So I went around to the front door, and it was a summer evening, and so the front door was open to get air through the apartment. And there was a screen door that was latched, and I had to take the screen door and literally pulled a screw right out of the wood to get me into the house.
Otherwise, man, you'd be outside nude.
Yeah, they probably would have arrested you.
You gotta yell everything, bud. What is it with you?
I know.
Well, I was just trying to say.
Yeah, they probably would have arrested you. Hey, tell it. Why don't you calm down, okay? God, man.
Well, what about you talking?
Would you have yourself a piece of sharp cheddar cheese, man? See if you turn into a zombie.
Ha 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 ha. Chop, man, he got you on that one.
No, he didn't. Shut up.
All right, now hold on. I'm going to tell you the story, right?
Yeah.
So the one Bud wants me to tell, this happened. It's embarrassing. It's also very common. It's very common. My father, this happened to my father. And it also happened to a friend of mine, my best friend, Big DJ, Big Don. I woke up one night. And this was when I was living, you know, I had a townhouse up here in the foothills above Los Angeles in Sierra Madre. And the famous little town of Sierra Madre where they filmed Invasion of the Body Snatchers in 1956. Anyway.
They did?
Yeah. Anyway, so I wake up. Now, get ready for this one. You're going to laugh your asses off. But it's true. I wake up urinating into the crisper in the refrigerator.
Oh, man.
That's the funniest thing I've ever heard in my life.
I swear to God. I woke up, and of course, the first thing you think, you go, what the hell? What am I doing, man?
What'd you do?
Well, I mean, I stood there stunned, and like, I knew in my dream or in my sleep state, I needed to go to the bathroom. And so I guess, and I really believe that in my sleep state, I got up and I went to the logical place to go when you have to go. And in my dream state, it was the refrigerator.
Yeah, that's a logical place to go. Where you cook.
That's funny. So anyway, needless to say, I spent the next two hours cleaning my refrigerator in the middle of the night.
Oh, man. Well, you said somebody else do that?
Oh, yeah. I found out after that. I told people about it, and I found out, oh, yeah, that a couple of people, my mom told me, she woke up one night, and my father was peeing into a drawer in the bureau.
No.
Yeah. And then I got a friend of mine. He woke up. He was urinating into a pile of laundry, and his wife yelled at him to wake him up. She woke up, and she saw this. She's like, what are you doing? You know? Which freaked him out, you know. And he was more upset with being awakened while he was doing that than what he was doing. I don't know what that is. I don't know. It's sleepwalking, and your brain is scrambled, and you mistake the...
Yeah, what if you mistake some guy's head for a toilet?
Better not be my head, man.
That'd be fit. I don't know. That would, yeah, that's not a good idea.
You mistake a guy's head for a toilet, you better run.
Well, look, pal. Let's just say that I was very fortunate. So that happened, but I noticed that it dropped off precipitously as I got out of my 20s. It didn't happen again. I've never had that experience since. And I don't know. It might be age. It might be changing the biochemistry of the body. It might have, but I know that the motor sensory aspect of our brains, right? That's what's getting jacked around. But since then, I haven't had a lot of stuff. Once you get out of your 20s, man, a lot of stuff stops. I used to get tonsillitis. Bang. As soon as I hit 30, gone. Never got it again. Never got it again.
You still have your tonsils?
I still have my tonsils. And I have not gotten tonsillitis since. The sleepwalking thing, gone. And now I'm finding that this sleep paralysis thing, it's very funny, but since I've been on this diet Dr. All put me on, I haven't had that. And it only came back like 2 weeks ago when I went off the diet because it was the holiday season. And you know what it is, man. I mean, you know, you're going to eat some things that maybe you shouldn't eat. I thought it would, maybe it was coffee. I thought it was a lot of stuff. But as it turns out, it wasn't any of that. It was the food that I was eating. Something about the food. I'm just telling you. You know, if something is happening and then it changes as the result of something that you changed, you have to look at that and say, well, wait a second.
Yeah, but what are you talking about, man? Like cheese? You're talking about cheese making you, you know, lay there like a mummy.
But if I said anything about mummies or zombies, you're the cat that's talking about it. You know?
Yeah. Well, that's what you're saying.
I'm not saying I ate cheese and I laid there like a mummy. I said that something I ate brought back this sleep paralysis thing. And once I stopped eating it, it goes away. So that's a huge thing that I found out, man. That's like, that's worth money, you know? When you get on just, man, if you just start eating good again, if you just start eating good again, if you start drinking water and just eat stuff that's good, man, just eat some vegetables and some fruit and some fish or meat and lay off of the rest of the crap, like the crap that you eat.
I don't eat no crap.
What was that box that you were eating at? What was that stuff?
Bugles.
Bugles?
Yeah, those. Are you kidding me? Bugles is the best. Bugles, man. I don't like Bugles at all. It tastes like a cereal.
What is Bugles anyway?
It's like Corn Chex. Yeah, it's Corn Chex with salt.
Whatever, man. It's crap. It's crap. If you guys start eating some good stuff, then you wouldn't be ugly, bud. I'm joking. You're not ugly.
Yeah.
All right, we'll be right back here on the world famous Phil Henry Show. So there's an update on what not to do in the refrigerator. I'm glad I was able to explain that because we've had an epidemic of it, I'm sure. World famous Phil Henry Show.
Truth is our bitch. The Phil Henry Show.
Because we're working tonight, that's why not.
Man, that's really good. He's gonna start to cry.
Are you honestly gonna start bawling because you can't go see Ghost Rider tonight, man? We're working tonight, Ace. You can go see it Sunday.
Yeah, but I want to see it tonight.
Then see it Sunday night. Tonight we're working. What a doofus.
Well,
guy's all.
It's bitching though. Have you seen it?
Whatever, man. It's another freaking 3D movie. You know, I'll catch it. Okay, I'll catch it in my own good time, in my own sweet way, all right? Hey, bud, you with the belching, man.
Yeah, but everybody else gets to do it.
Those are jackballs that I'll deal with. I don't want you doing it. GOP insiders rise up to cut Gingrich down to size. His final little story here this evening on the world-famous Phil Henry Show. Don't forget tonight at 7 o'clock. We are live here on Phil TV and HD with our local Los Angeles show. Republican insiders are rising up to cut Newt Gingrich down to size, testament to the GOP establishment's fear that the mercurial candidate could lead the party to disaster in the fall. Get a load of this. The gathering criticisms are bitterly sharp, as if edged by a touch of panic, a remarkable development, considering the target once was Speaker of the House and will go down in history as leader of the Republicans' 1994 return to power in Congress. The intended, you know, there's a little, it's kind of a weird thing, because the Republicans' return to power in Congress was initiated in the Reagan years. In the Reagan years. Now, yes, they lost it, and then they gained it back. But I don't think that it's going to be Newt Gingrich going down in history as the guy that returned them to power. I think it's going to be Newt Gingrich that may go down in history as a guy who was able to help them resurge to the lead after they'd lost it due to the early 90s recession and other, you know, obviously other issues. The Republican establishment might not be wild about Mitt Romney, but they're terrified by Newt Gingrich, said Dan Schur, a former GOP campaign strategist who teaches politics at the University of Southern California. The anti-Gingrich statements have come from conservative columnists, talk show hosts, including Ann Coulter, former Reagan administration officials, and others. One of the harshest was written by former Senator Bob Dole, who was the 1996 presidential nominee. I have not been critical of Newt Gingrich, but it is now time to take a stand before it's too late, he wrote. If Gingrich is the nominee, it will have an adverse impact on Republican candidates running for county, state, and federal offices. As Speaker from 1995 through 1998, Gingrich, quote, had a new idea every minute, and most of them were off the wall, Dole wrote. He said he struggled against Democrats' TV attacks in his 1996 campaign, and in every one of them, Newt was in the ad. Gingrich has reacted unevenly to the accusations, sometimes denouncing them, other times wearing them like a badge of honor. He said, quote, at a Tea Party rally in Central Florida on Thursday, the Republican establishment is just as much an establishment as the Democratic establishment, and they're just as determined to stop us. Before we get too much into this story, it has to be said again, and it's not, you know,
they want to get elected.
Yes, you're absolutely right. The Republicans want to get elected. Now, the Republicans rightfully recognize something. As much as the Tea Party people want to believe that they are the majority voice in the country, they're not. They are a voice, and they're a powerful voice. They're a loud voice. There are significant numbers. But they do not make up the majority. Who really is the majority voter? Well, the majority voter, as we've come to find out in America, as much as we hate government gridlock, we tend to vote for gridlock. We vote for it because it means that the extreme elements are balanced. No one is taking too much control. And as crazy as that sounds, that's what we prefer over one extreme or the other, controlling things. The Tea Party people may not be extremist, neither may be progressives, but they are seen that way. And Republicans see the Tea Party people as the reason why they will lose. The reason why they'll lose the presidency. It's one thing to win a midterm. It's one thing to say, well, we've got all these seats and the Tea Party led us to victory here, 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 and here. But the Tea Party is exposed politically as well. They've had an awful lot of members who have turned around and made the Tea Party angry at them. You know, I mean, this guy Brown in Massachusetts, a classic example of a guy that was the darling of the Tea Party. 5 minutes after this guy gets elected, all of a sudden he's a scumbag, right? So that's what they're saying there. They're saying they ain't going to win the presidency with a Newt Gingrich because he's just, they're not going to vote for him in sufficient numbers to make him president. You can wish it, you can hope it, you can pray for it, but if it ain't there, it ain't there.
Yeah, but they're going to say that the Republicans should have supported him and he had the numbers.
You can't make people vote for something they don't want to vote for. World famous Phil Hendry Show, produced by Phil Hendry and Dan Northcraft. Don't forget, we're online at philhendryshow.com. That's philhendryshow.com for all of your Phil Hendry Show needs. And we have our souvenir shop that is wide open over there. I would suggest very heartily that you head on over and pick up a souvenir for the one that you love. Maybe something for Valentine's Day. We'll see you guys tonight on our local show, philhendryshow.com.
Phil Hendry.